on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this box.
Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciello.
Guys, we have a special edition of the Believe in Iowa State podcast, a Cyhawk preview. We have Dominic Daphne from the Believe in Iowa podcast. Dom, welcome to the show.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys having me again back when we were just talking about it a whole year ago now. But yeah. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to the show. I gotta get the vibe of the situation. Dom, how are you feeling about this game?
With understanding and actually been watching this, you know, rivalry for a while. I mean, I'm always pretty confident going in as an Iowa fan because I feel like we have just enough every year to make it dirty, which is what this right. game is always going to be. It's rarely a blowout. It's always pretty close. The rivalry has always been 3.7, 10. Like, it's always been pretty close. So knowing that that's how the game is going to go and it goes like that every year, I always have pretty confident, a lot of confidence going into it. I mean, obviously we have things we need to work out from week one. That's probably the headline going into week two of how are we going to do better offensively. I feel like that's just Iowa in a hole. We've always right. been asking that question every single year. So, but knowing how this rivalry goes and knowing what it usually looks like, I'm usually pretty confident.
Yeah. Cody, how are you feeling?
I think this is one where on paper, you look at the two teams and how they are, and you think Iowa State should be the better team. But when it comes to rivalry games like this, I always put, like, you throw all rankings, all media perceptions, all, like, things on paper out the window. You're expecting a dogfight. I mean, I've seen every single way, shape, or form on how this game could end. I mean, I've obviously been there for the 2011 blowout, but I've also seen, like, these games are always close. It doesn't matter where the two teams are in terms of rankings, whatever, heading into the game. Once Iowa State and Iowa line up on the field against each other, it's just who's the better, more physical, tougher team. And it always goes down to, like, a very crucial play. Like, some, like, play that, like, you think in the grand scheme of things wouldn't make sense, but it all comes down to the margins, like what Matt Campbell always preaches. It will always come down to the margins. It will always come down to the finer details. And it's just a matter of which team prepared best for it.
Yeah, I'll say this. As an outsider, this game makes no sense at all. It makes no sense because you're like, how in the world does this, you know, keep happening? But, like, the Cyhawk game is just a crazy thing. Like, I mean, and now we're getting perfect weather for this game, 70 degrees, and it's not either deathly hot or raining in this game for the first time in years. So I don't know. I'm feeling, like, cautiously optimistic, at least with the way Iowa State has played pretty so far. But you already know that that thing can change, and you have to, like you said, you throw the records and everything out the window. So, you know, with that, like, Dom, like, going into the last game, what were some things that you saw out of Iowa that you really liked?
Obviously, we ran the ball really well. I feel like that's going to be our staple until right. Iowa football is no longer a thing. They didn't – the one thing I was kind of disappointed with, obviously, besides, you know, only throwing for 48 yards, 40-whatever yards, was that our secondary was – I was hoping that we would be able to bounce back from last year. I feel like that was something that was not up to the standard, not up to the Phil Parker standard as it is normally. And to see – that UAlbany of all teams, was moving the ball on us pretty well in the first half. I was like, I was a little worried, but I feel like they definitely stepped up again in the second half and kind of put all that to bed. They were gritty. They were getting after the quarterback. They were stopping the run. They weren't allowing like easy dump offs and to get to 6, 7, 8 yards. So they definitely put in a better performance in the second half, but that kind of made me feel a little bit better on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, like I just said, we need to throw more than 50 yards. That would be great. And obviously that, you know, that's what they're going to root for, or that's what they're going to work for this week. But I feel like going after the game, defensively, I was happy with the performance. Offensively, I'm really glad that we ran the ball. Obviously, we're not going to have Kamari Moulton this week, but seeing our second and third string running back still run the ball really well, seeing our offensive line move the line of scrimmage like that, seeing our defensive line control the line of scrimmage, that whole – all of that, seeing all that kind of left me in a good spot. Obviously, we need to get the most important thing together, and I feel like that we will, and that we'll just have to keep taking it week by week to see if we can move this thing forward.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I say, you know, for us, just the aggressiveness in play calling continues the first few weeks, especially just when you see the – because I know, you know, one of the narratives going into this game against South Dakota is like, well, hey, they just came back from a very long trip in Ireland. How, and you know, one of the questions that me and Cody had was, how is this team going to respond? Responded greatly, and they had a play call and threw a ball 66 yards downfield. So, I mean, the offense looks very, very crisp. Running game looked pretty good too. I really love how we use our tight ends in this offense to not just like putting them in tight, but putting them out wide. I was very, very well pleased. We'll have to see what happens. But Cody, what were your thoughts about last week?
Yeah, I think this was the kind of game where you had to show like the bit of the maturity that you have. Obviously, you're coming off a very long road trip and a very emotional game like Farmageddon and playing against a very good team in Kansas State. Now, there are two sides of the coin when it comes to like playing coming off of that game in Ireland. Iowa State was lucky that they were the ones that they were prepared for. They prepared for this trip, and they didn't look like they went on. They did not look like they just came off a trip in Ireland. Meanwhile, you had Kansas State having to score a last-minute touchdown to win by three against a not as good North Dakota team. So I don't know if that tells you more about Kansas State, North Dakota, or Iowa State. But regardless, Iowa State is – I mean, people are saying it. They look like they're in mid-season form, and it's only week two. So one of the things that I did love was the tight ends, and that's kind of one of the things that I look forward to, like when it comes to matchups here in the Seahawks game. How will Iowa's new starting linebacking core match up against the tight end prowess of Ben Bramer, Gabe Burkle, and Tyler Moore? And we've seen in the years past, Iowa is known to have great linebackers. I mean, back-to-back, you had Jack Campbell and Jay Higgins to like All-American caliber linebacker. So interested to see who on that linebacker room can step up to kind of not necessarily be that type of player, but can make plays like similar to those guys. And I know in midseason form, I know it's going to go on as the season goes on, that those guys are definitely going to be coached up. But will they be prepared to take on a very stout tight end room that Iowa State has? And also the secondary. I'm really curious to see that secondary matchup against the wide receivers of Iowa State. So there's a couple of matches we're looking forward to.
Definitely. Are there any matchups that you're looking forward to, Dom, for Iowa?
Yeah, I think definitely seeing how you guys is our D-line versus your offensive line. I feel like our defensive line is taking a step forward. Obviously, it's hard when you have – I mean, it's great when you have many guys leaving and going to the league, but, you know, your depth depletes.
Right.
And there are guys who are going to have to step up and make plays who aren't used to having to be the guy. There are guys who are going to get a little bit more playing time than usual. Like you just said, we're having to have this whole new when's the last time we've had three new linebackers play at the same time? So it's like having entire guys on the guy or entire sides of the ball where we have to rely on new guys that we're not used to it. It's going to be, like you said, it's going to be an interesting matchup to see how they can uphold. But I also think that being able to lean on your defensive line and have them be able to get pressure, you know, so we're not having to have 8, 9, 10 second plays where it's hard to cover somebody for that long, no matter who it is. So having a defensive line that's going to get after the quarterback and apply some pressure and kind of make Rocco Beck like get off the spot, maybe get to extended plays and see what he can do and see how he extend plays, see how he responds to pressure in his face. And, you know, I'm looking for that matchup as well as, like you said, I want to see our DBs be tested again. I want to see what they're capable of doing. And some guys who, again, are vets now, you know, last year was kind of their first time being the guys. So seeing if, you know, we are making strides to building, if we're making advancements to get better as a secondary. So I think those are the two kind of matchups I'm looking forward to. And of course I want to see us run the ball well and kind of add another week of putting that in our back pocket, because, you know, as we talked, we had a decent amount of receivers who can make plays, but we're always going to have to lean on that run game. I feel like that's just going to be, it's always going to be that.
Definitely. I say for me, a few of the matches I'm looking at is, hey, Iowa's running back room against our linebackers. Because that Williams kid that y'all have, number 26, he looked impressive last week. So I think, you know, just as always with Iowa's running game, you know, you don't want to get them started, because, I mean, obviously we've seen in this game when y'all can run the ball well, you guys can control this game from the jump. And at that point, it's just like you suffocate us in the past, and that's how y'all do it with field position and running the football and playing great defense. I also think with this offense, our offensive line against, like you said, our offensive line against your defensive line, it's going to be interesting to see what the play calling is going to be if we're going to be able to run the football from the jump. Because I'm wondering if we're going to not completely abandon it, but what our offense is going to look like if we're not able to get a running game going. So, you know, this is a good conversation. But with that, we're going to get into keys to the game. Dom, what are three big keys to the game for Iowa to get a victory in Ames again on Saturday?
I think first and foremost is controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, being able to run the ball, protecting our quarterback, and of course on the opposite side is getting after the quarterback. We know what Rocco Beck can do with his arm and his legs, so getting him off platform, like I said, speeding up his clock a little bit, maybe having him get the ball up when he doesn't want to, and it's, you know how it happens. He throws the ball when he doesn't want to, and it ends up in the wrong hands. And so trying to speed up his clock, I feel like that the line of scrimmage is always, we always talk about these games are going to be close. That's going to be something that is constantly looked at to be important to a victory. For us, again, I think having a balanced attack. I mean, 44 yards passing is not going to win against ranked opponents. It's not going to win against your rivals. It's not going to win against Big Ten conference play. So having a more balanced attack and not having people be able to put eight people in the box because they know all we can do is run the ball. I don't think we're going to be able to get away with that this year. Obviously, having Caleb Johnson last year was extremely helpful, but we're probably going to have a 2-3 headed monster in the backfield this year. So I don't think we're going to be able to rely on the fact of we could just give it to two. Let's just turn around and give it to Caleb Johnson. I don't think we're going to be able to do that this year. And lastly, I would say probably controlling the pace of the game. I feel like Iowa State, you guys showed that you could put up points really fast last game. And, you know, you have receivers who run really well routes and they catch the ball really well, and they could do, like, you guys can score really quick. So if we are able to keep you guys, like, limit the explosives and kind of keep the pace on our terms and keep the game and the ball on our terms, I feel like that gives us the best chance to win and not have this become a shootout, which if it becomes a shootout like the 2017 game we were talking about, I that's more in Iowa State's favor. That's more in you guys' favor. Right. So if we can control the clock, kind of control the pace, control the tempo of the game, that give us the best chance to get a victory.
All right, Cody, now what are we going to do? What are we going to do to get over this losing streak and finally win in Ames against Iowa?
First off, I think this comes down to the maturity and the psychology of the team. Obviously, you're going to hear that, like, they've definitely heard the noise of, oh, Iowa State hasn't won in Ames in 2011. You have all these things coming in. So that's the narrative thing. And that, and also that's another thing, the narrative busting that's been going on with Matt Campbell last season to this season. The one, obviously, you bust the narrative of never winning 10 games in a regular season. You bust the narrative of not being able to win one score games. And now you have another narrative that you have the opportunity to bust, and that's winning in Ames against Iowa. That's an opportunity for those guys, and they're not going to take that for granted. And, I mean, that also comes down to Rocco, because Rocco, he, like, people are going to say, like, well, that 2011, Rocco doesn't care. Like, I think Rocco is, like, just going to go play ball. And that's just what it is for Iowa State. It's just to understand that this is a great opportunity against a great rival, and really come out there and want to play their style of ball. And that comes down to everything clicking and the details as well. So having, like, that said, penalties – Iowa State's not had that many penalties throughout this season so far. What was it, like three or four penalties? One of those being a delay a game in Ireland. But that playing discipline is going to be key, because that what can it come down to is just being able to have those playing disciplined football. And I think Iowa State, if they could play controlled football and not get to shoot themselves in the foot, getting behind the sticks, picking up bad penalties, that can help Iowa State stay in rhythm. Now, in staying in rhythm, we go to Rocco Beck. And, I mean, he's seen this defense. He's seen this Iowa defense. He's played them twice. So he knows what it takes to play against this defense and has that maturity and really connecting with his receivers and making the play when he needs to. Like, we know he can make plays on his feet. But I think if you really allow, like, obviously the tight end, get the tight ends moving and get them going, and then you can eventually get your wide receivers and really just be able to really play that fast pace that doesn't really favor Iowa. And then I'd say for me, finally, Taylor Mauser continuing to call a great game. Like, he's obviously looking to improve on his play calling. So this is definitely a great opportunity for him. He's learned a lot from last year and up to this year. So who knows what Taylor Mauser may pull out of the hat. So obviously a lot of the playbook is out, but who knows what Taylor Mauser could pull. And I think it's just time that Iowa State plays Iowa State football and not try to outdo Iowa at their own game, because that's been a
criticism I've had. Oh my gosh.
For the past like 5 years or so, or however long it is that Campbell's been at Iowa State, he's always tried to out Iowa, and that simply cannot be the way to go. So
you cannot do that.
Yep. You just got to play your style of football, and you know how to play and trust your guys to make plays. And I think that will allow Iowa State to keep the momentum going and retain the Cy-Hawk Trophy in Ames, Iowa.
Yes. So we're gonna put this into perspective, guys. The last time that Iowa State beat Iowa, I was a freshman. That was my freshman year at Iowa State in 2011. I remember being at that game, lining up for that game, and running onto the field after that triple overtime game. But, like, here's what's gonna need to happen. Here are my three keys. One, we're gonna have to play clean like we always have. Not like, so that means that minimal penalties, not turning the ball over like we have been. Obviously, I'll chalk up the turnovers in Ireland to the inclement weather. But otherwise, like, just like continuing to do that. Also just continuing to have aggressive play calling. Taylor Mauser has had a really impressive two games to start off the year, especially just that ballsy call on that fourth down, especially in Dublin against K-State, and then just to start off with the ball and throw a deep bomb and back-to-back years against FCS opponents to make sure that we're keeping our foot on the gas. So just that's my second one. And third one is, play your type of ball. Don't try to out Iowa Iowa. And I think, you know, at our best, I think that we are able to outbest Iowa's best. So we're gonna have fun with this with this one. Dom, do you have any Cy-Hawk stories or any fun Cy-Hawk stories that you'd like to share?
Well, also to put it in perspective, 2011, I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. So if Tyler was a freshman in college and Dominic, you were a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
I think I was 8 years old at the time. So I was in elementary school. Oof.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's that insane.
Third grade, I believe? That would be third grade?
Yep. Nah, that's crazy. Yeah, it's been a minute, so I think we also have that going for us. But I think my most fun Cy-Hawk experience would probably have been that 2017 game in Ames.
Yeah.
When it was 44-41, went into overtime, won on a last second touchdown. It was extremely hot. It was crazy. You know, it was my first time playing in that stadium. And of course, when we walk out, this was back then. So they switched. Then they switched where you guys stand. So you guys are like on your team is on the other sideline.
Right.
So this was back when it was flipped. So we would walk past you guys' student section to come out. So they were chirping, I'm talking about, the whole time. And we'd have our headphones on. And they're right there, and the game isn't going for like another 3 hours, but I mean, it's halfway full. The student section is. Mm-hmm. And they were just screaming at us as soon as we ran out for warmups to get ready. And it was an extremely hot day, and it was just like you could feel the atmosphere. It was crazy. All my family was there. I grew up in Des Moines, so a lot of my family was there at the game. My cousin, she actually went to Iowa State. My mom went to Iowa State, so you know who they were rooting for, but I'm obviously an Iowa Hawkeye, so I'm like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see who's winning after the game. We'll see who's cheering after the game. But it was a great experience, and, of course, that was a great game. We talked about David Montgomery going off, Akram Wadley going off. It was just a great – I think that's one of the all-time Iowa State games, in my opinion, just going down to the wire like that and how it ended. And, of course, I ended up dislocating my finger, making a tackle on special teams, and like – it was just, I could just feel the everyone screaming. And I went up and I looked at my hand and my finger was pointing the wrong direction. And my heart started beating. I was like, oh my goodness. It was literally like my hand was like this and my finger was going that way.
Oh, dude, I had that happen to me in high school. I was freaking. I'm like, oh, what the?
Yeah. Nah. So like my adrenaline was already pumping. And then that happened. And I looked at my hand and I was like, I got woozy. I was like, there's no way that's not my hand. And I like tried to move my finger and it didn't move. And then I like my eyes got really big. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to sit down. But and then we ended up winning the game. So I was like, we went home. We had to drive, or we took the bus all the way back to Iowa City. We're all just happy that we got the victory and everyone was so excited and just like, oh, where are we going tonight? Where are we going tonight? Where are the boys going tonight? So it was just like, I think that's my biggest and best Cy-Hawk story, is just that feeling of playing Ames and leaving with the Cy-Hawk trophy was after they lost it the year before, was just a great experience. And that one would always sit with me.
So for mine, it's definitely the 2011 one for sure. That sits near and dear to me. Cause I remember just that day. Cause I think I remember because like I was a freshman student. I was an engineering student at the time, and I was like we were in our little like study hall thing, and they're like, well, write down the prediction of the game, and like everybody had us losing that game. I was like, oh boy, I don't know. I think I was gonna win this one. But you know, going in, me and my friend, we came late to the last game. I'm like, oh no, we gonna get down to like one of those closer student sections, and you know that little did we know that game was gonna be the Legend of Steel Jans, where he just went off in that game, and it was just it was just bow after bow after bow after bow after bow. And just like James White going in triple overtime to win 44-41, everybody just ran onto the field. It was just like one of my first like college football just experience as a student. And like I remember I was out there like celebrating with everybody, and I had to like just leave the crowd because I almost passed out because of all the body heat. Because like we were talking about at the beginning before Dom, like these games are either hot or just or rainy, and it was so hot I was like, all right, let me leave this because I was about to pass out in that whole crowd, and I just walked off. And that's one of the near and dear games that will sit with me. And then another one was I've lived in the Chicago area all my life, so just going to the bars, wearing my beat Iowa shirt, and some Hawk fans were chirping me. And one of the ones that stood out was probably the 2014 game. And as you know, the 2014 game, we went 2-10 that year. And like, this is back before we had anything else to cheer for, and when like beating Iowa was like the only thing that you could really look forward to. And just I believe Colton Edden hitting a walk-off field goal to win 20-17. Those are the moments that I remember from those. Cody, what are some of yours?
Obviously, 2011 grew up as a kid, really like watching it at home with my family, split household, and I think that was the day I fell in love with Iowa State, no doubt. I'd say as a student, it would have to be 2024, last year's game, mm-hmm. because I mean, we were down 13-0 at one point in the game, and then I just see Jaden Higgins score that touchdown, stealing the ball from T.J. Hall. In the same, man. Basically the same corner that Xavier Hutchinson had scored his touchdown in 2 years ago. And just the mirror image of that was crazy. And then seeing Jalen Noll just completely smoke Xavier Wongpa for that 75-yard one-play touchdown. And then obviously Kyle Conrady hitting that 54-yard field goal. And then the ball going right in the middle of the goalpost, right into the band, into the student section. And you just see all the students of all the Iowa fans just put up the infamous surrender cobras, and then the shot of the one dude, the one Iowa State fan, he was chirping at everybody. Man, it was so fun. Yeah, I'll say this. I really wish I had gone to that game. Maybe it's a good thing I did it, because I don't know how I would have gotten out of Iowa City, out of Kinnick, had I been chirping, because boy, oh boy, I would have been chirping so much that I may have ended up in the hospital.
Yeah.
No, it was – there was actually – I was at that game, and we were at DC's. It's a bar. And they win. They kicked a game-winning field goal, and there was Iowa State students in there, and they just started throwing beer all over the place. And I looked at me and my I was there with my buddy Nick Easley, and we looked at each other. I was like, this is kind of cool. And throwing beer, I was like – because if we had won, like, I don't think we would have done that. We probably wouldn't have, but because the Cyclones finally won, and like in that fashion, like they were so excited, they started throwing beer all over the place. And it's like a two-story bar, but then there's like a big opening around. So it's like, it literally, you could see straight up to the second floor, and people were throwing beer down, and they were throwing beer up, and they were just cheering. I was like, nah, this is actually kind of cool. I'm not gonna lie, even though we just lost, but it is what it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I know there are times where like people would take this like way too seriously, but at the end of the day, you also got to realize that it's a game. And then I know like for the state of Iowa, like some of these people, I know like for you guys, since you guys are from the state of Iowa, this game is a lot more personal to you rather than me, who's someone who's from out of state. But like, I just know, like, you know, a lot of these people can be your neighbors, or hey, like even in your case, Cody, or in your case, Dom, like you have like aunts and uncles, or your mom and dad went to Iowa State, and Cody, your dad went to Iowa. So like, I mean, and your mom,
no,
right.
My dad cheered for Iowa. He didn't go to college, and my mom went to Buena Vista University. It was my aunt who
went
to Iowa State. They both went to Iowa State, and they cheered the Cyclones. And my dad cheered for Iowa because I think he started. He watched the it was the Dallas Clark.
Brad Banks year. Yeah,
the Brad Banks. Yep. But yeah, just growing up in that household, just really showed like the different sides of Cyhawk, and obviously being in Des Moines, you're in prime territory for both schools.
Yeah.
Right. So everything was there, and it basically is. It honestly should be in that. It should be just a statewide holiday. So I hope to just be a statewide holiday. True. I don't know what you take the Monday off or the Friday off, Friday before, Monday after. I don't care which one. One of those two needs to be taken off, so that way people can just like get ready for Cyhawk and whatnot. And I think I'm expecting us to be in another another classic, because this feels like a prime opportunity for it to just somehow end up as a classic.
I already know, as much as I would love to win by multiple score, I just know that this game is not going to be that. This game is never that. Every time you put expectations on this game, like, it will always find a way to surprise you.
Yeah.
Like, it might be a low scoring, and it could be a high scoring game. Who knows, honestly?
Yeah. I think the last time it was a blowout was it was supposed to be a really close game. In 2016?
Yeah, that was Matt Campbell's first year, 42-3.
Which is like with the guys that you guys had and the guys that we had on our team. I remember because that was my first year at Iowa. I was a sophomore. I transferred in. And we thought it was going to be a close game, and then we just kept scoring and kept scoring. We're like, what is going on? Like, what? And it was just like the game was over in like the third quarter. I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's no way. Like, they got dogs over there. Like, I remember Alan Lazard and the boys were over there who I've known since I was younger. And so I'm like, oh, they got some guys. And then we somehow won by that much. I'm like, this doesn't even feel right. This doesn't feel like Iowa State game. Like, we shouldn't be up by this much. We shouldn't be scoring this many points. This is weird.
Right.
But
definitely.
Yeah, it always is something you can unexpect. I feel like that's the best way to explain it.
Completely agree, man. With that, we're going to go into our score predictions. Dom, what do you think?
If I have to be honest, I think it'll be like 23-21 Iowa.
Okay. Cody?
I think this one can – I'm going to say this will probably end – It might be 27-24.
Iowa State. I am sticking with my prediction that I've had all week. I am going to go 24-17 Iowa State. We finally bring back the side. We're going to keep the Cyhawk trophy in Ames where it belongs.
I guess. I don't know. Somebody leads the series 47-24, but it is. It is what it is. We'll see. That's why we play the games. That's why we play the games on Saturday.
Exactly. That's why we play the games on Saturday. Yeah. So, Dom, just for all the other fans, to find your guys' work, where can you guys be found? Do you guys have any other social media presence for Believe in Iowa?
Yeah, we have Twitter/X. Mm-hmm. I still call it Twitter. It is what it is. Instagram, TikTok. You're on TikTok. And of course, I think we finally got going on YouTube again. So we got all of those, and they're all at Believe in Iowa, BLEAV in Iowa. So definitely can find all of our stuff there. I post pretty much I try to post every day. So I've had people start to comment on our TikToks and stuff, and they will bicker back and forth in the comments. So you're all more than welcome to come join in. So
we had some friendly trash talk on our Instagram pages last year, so and then we're on TikTok as well, but definitely will come in and do some friendly trash talk. But Dom, thank you so much for joining the show. We're just gonna do some quick things before we go. So, Believe in Iowa State is a top 15 most listened to sports podcast in the state of Iowa, and a top 40 overall most listened to podcast in the state of Iowa. So, thank you, state of Iowa listeners. Thank you, everyone who listens. As below, you can see, you can find me on Twitter, Tyler at SciTyGuy, Cody at FullMattCampbell, and we are on 6 forms of social media. We have YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Twitch now. So for that, this is going to be the end of the show. So for Tyler Carter,
for Cody Vanciello,
this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones.